I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
We talked about the four non-LeBrons yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought they did all they needed to do last night. Yeah, I don't think you can get any more juice out of that turnip. Those guys did about all they can do last night offensively. Now, defensively, I had a problem with LeBron James. I listened to these analysts, and I'm listening to Mark Jackson and Van Gundy, and then at halftime, Jalen, and then after the game, Legler on Van Pelt, and they're all telling me that LeBron did not step up and man up defensively last night, that he kept handing off Durant in these picks that he should have been fighting through and not handing off Durant. Did you guys see that? And do you think less of LeBron not wanting to be the guy in Durant's face all night?
You just wonder where we are. He's played more games than he's ever played in his entire career in a season. I think it's 102 so far this year. He logs 47 minutes last night. He's almost played every single minute of these playoffs.
How many minutes were in that game, Lance?
There's 48.
And he played 47 of them.
47. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of on par to what he's been doing this entire, not only in the finals, but the entire NBA playoffs. The problem, Dunaway, is he would have to exert so much energy going against 6'11 Kevin Durant.
That's what I was going to say. It's either you want me to be amazing on offense or defense. I can't be both.
He can't do both.
That's why I don't criticize him at all, Jim, because he's out there playing 47 minutes. He put up 33, 10, and 11. He had a triple-double. What more can you ask the guy to do?
I saw after the game, Chauncey Billups said, LeBron had a triple-double, but he wasn't all there tonight. Oh, my God.
33, 10, and 11. What more do you want him to do?
It wasn't a good LeBron game.
Yeah, I will say, look,
I wanted him to score more than 40 points.
I know you did, but
the defense was not his best effort, and he couldn't hit any shots behind the arc. I mean, outside of that, though, I mean, LeBron, I mean, we're picking and just trying to find things wrong with LeBron.
But you have
James
to be
now.
Realistic about this, Jim. Do you really think LeBron can exert himself? And I know, oh, God, people hate this talk. People are going to hate what I'm going to say. Do you think he can exert himself 100% at both ends of the floor and still play 47 minutes? It's impossible. There's nobody well-conditioned enough to do that. You can't be.
Michael Jordan would do it.
I know. That's what people will say. Oh, Dunaway, don't even, God.
Kobe Bryant would do it.
I can't believe I'm going to sit here next to you all day and have to listen to this.
I'm just saying, Michael Jordan would have done
it. No, he wouldn't have. He wouldn't have played 47 minutes.
Oh, Brown, you think they used to sit a lot back in the day?
Okay.
Well, Michael Jordan would have lost to the Golden State Warriors as well.
Maybe so. The more I see games like last night when Clay and Steph can't throw it in the ocean and they still win an NBA Finals game with ease,
you got a 6'10 guy draining 30-footers.
Yeah, 33.
Another big problem has been Kyle Korver. I mean, that's a guy that really stretches defenses, and he missed all four shots last night. He's 8-29 going back to game one.
Well, Rodney Hood, why was last night the first time we've seen this guy since the beginning of the playoffs? I mean, what's Ty Lue doing?
He's been awful offensively until last night because the minutes that he has played sparingly, he has been really bad offensively.
Listen,
he put him in because of his defense, and he actually showed out offensively.
Listen, you may not be my favorite sailor, but when the boat's sinking, I'm going to give you a chance to throw some water out of the hull. And
that's what he did last night.
That ship was sinking a lot earlier than last night. I'd have put Rodney back in at some point. He looked good last night. Just I love the Warriors, and I do not want to look back in this moment in time and be hating on these guys. But I was cheering for the Cavaliers to win this series, or the Rockets to win this series, just so all of the people that started, like Lance and Brown back at the beginning of the year.
And Charles Barkley? Your boy Barkley?
Why are we going to watch this? We know how it's going to end. We know how it's going to end. And so I have cheered against them throughout the playoffs just so all of you, now it's going to end, guys, would not be able to say, see, we knew it was going to end like this. Well, here we are. And it's going to end the way you guys thought. And we're going to wait for Golden State to be broken up before we don't know the ending of all this.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. I would feel confident saying Golden State wins next year's championship.
Ooh, I'd wait until the offseason.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of offseason moves. And obviously, LeBron James is one of the big pieces. And if he was to go somewhere like Houston or Philadelphia.
I think Kevin Durant's a bigger piece, isn't he?
With Kevin Durant's to go anywhere. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Well, a big topic later on. But Kevin's got that option right now.
He can opt out, as LeBron can opt out, but I don't know where Kevin Durant could go where he would make more money and be in a better situation.
Well, nobody's going to be in a better situation than where he is right now.
So, I mean, why would you leave a great situation with this, with the most money you can actually get?
Boredom.
Well, boredom didn't treat him well in Oak City, did it?
I'm just saying. I mean, there are people in the world that they have success in one place, and they say, okay, I don't want to keep doing it this way. This has gotten too easy.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you
Let's
want a bigger challenge.
Else. Yeah.
I mean, there are bigger challenges out there for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he should go and, go to Dallas and try to make the Mavericks good again, but it would be interesting. I'm not saying he should go to Phoenix and try to make the Suns good again, but it'd be interesting.
So let's say Kevin Durant did bolt, and then LeBron ends up a Golden State Warrior.
No, I don't want that.
Same deal, right?
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't know if it'd be the same deal. Like I said, when Durant on that first show after July 4th, when Durant went to Golden State, you never know what the chemistry is going to be. And, adding LeBron to Golden State or adding LeBron to Philadelphia, you never know what he's going to do with that team chemistry those guys have. Durant,
I don't know how much chemistry they've got. I think they're just that good. I mean, sometimes you don't see great team chemistry with Golden State.
Well, I think Kevin Durant is a humble superstar. I think at times he's willing to chill in the background and let Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green be all that. And then last night, he's able to step up and go for 43.
Brown, this is how good he is, though. Did you guys realize with Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals, Golden State now against Cleveland is 7-1. Pre-Kevin Durant, they were 7-6 against the Cavs.
Wow. I didn't know it was that close. Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense it was that close because they split two series.
It's just been flat-out domination since.
You've just spent 5 minutes not talking, running through playing stats for Michael Jordan.
Actually, no. I was writing down a fun topic for later on that I think will be fun. But since you brought it up, Michael averaged 41.8 minutes per game in the playoffs. That was his average. So don't tell me he never sat.
How much? 48?
41.
Because he was playing too much defense and offense.
41 out of 48. So don't tell me he never
He's
sat.
Exhausted, bro. Yeah.
Those teams were always so far ahead, right? The greatest team of all time.
Yeah, that was it.
Chances are pretty good he had to rest because he was playing offense and defense.
And that's our point with LeBron. If he's going to play 47 minutes, you cannot expect him to be your highest energy defensive guy, too.
If he would slow Kevin Durant down a little bit, he could take a break. Right?
Give time for J.R. Smith to throw a three up.
That's right. J.R. never said he shot he didn't like.
Time to talk a little college football. And LT and Brown, we are on the verge now, 84 days of getting into a full week of college football again. And there are still some college football coaches out there who sort of needed what Kevin Durant needed when he arrived in Golden State when he left Oklahoma City, or what LeBron James needed when he left Cleveland and went to Miami. Those two guys left their original place in the NBA searching for a championship. They didn't think they were going to get one where they were, and they wanted to go find a championship to sort of cement their credentials and legacy in the NBA. And I ask you, in college football, are there current head coaches who need national championships to validate their career? And I have two that pop to mind instantly, and I want to see what you guys think of that. One of those, to me, is Chip Kelly. For all the greatness Chip Kelly did in his time at Oregon and a brief run to the playoffs his first year in the NFL, I feel like Chip Kelly is one of those guys for us to remember him in the history books of college football. He needs to finish the deal one year and win a national championship, because those Oregon teams had a lot of wins. But the one thing they never had, Auburn beat them one year, they never had that national championship.
I agree. I mean, 4 years at Oregon, and he averaged 12 wins a year. He played for a national championship. He won multiple Pac-12 championships. And he was one of the more inventive minds that we've seen in college football. And Chip Kelly was kind of a brand for a little bit, and then he goes to the NFL and doesn't have the success a lot of people believed he would have. Now he comes back to a UCLA program that's starving for a championship. I agree with you. To really validate the career, to make him one of the elite coaches, I don't want to say of all time, but an elite coach when you look back at Chip Kelly, I think he needs to have a championship.
Well, I bet against it, though.
I would too.
At UCLA, anyway.
Well, see, UCLA almost needs the championship to validate the program.
Yeah, almost more than Chip Kelly does. I mean, Chip Kelly at least has respect, like Lance said, from his time at Oregon. What makes you respect UCLA football? I mean, give me the greatest moment in UCLA football history. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, really, a couple of Rose Bowl games.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it was beating Alabama in that season opener. I don't know. I mean, what was it? UCLA just has no football. It's nothing to hang your hat on in UCLA football. I think they need it more than Chip Kelly. But I agree with you about Chip Kelly. We're just going to remember him as a guy that, you know, hit it big at Oregon for a little while and then faded off into obscurity? Or is he going to make us change his narrative?
Okay, so Chip Kelly was one that I had done away. For the record, I've got 12 coaches that I think you can make an argument need it.
Oh, my.
I've got six that 100% have to have it.
And Chip Kelly would...
He's one of those six.
Would have been in the six.
Yeah. Just based on expectations and everything.
Give me one of yours, Zing, that has to have
one. Jim Harbaugh's got to have one.
Agreed.
Absolutely has to have one.
I mean, he could just use a trip to Indianapolis, Lance. He hasn't even had that.
Yeah, you're right, Brown. I mean, that's one of the baby steps that you need before you can actually get a national championship. But this guy's getting paid a ton of money. He's come back to his alma mater after having a ton of success, not only at Stanford, but also in the NFL, going to a Super Bowl. And it's really national championship or bust, and he really hasn't been close.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely with Lance on this one. How do we remember this guy? How are you going to
remember? Ohio State first?
Huh?
You got to beat Ohio State.
I mean,
State
you're
too.
Right, Rockstar.
So that's Rockstar's before you on the step, Brown. You got to beat Ohio State. I had been Ohio in, State. Then you got to get to Indianapolis.
Had him in Indy. How do we remember him? First of all, let's take Harbaugh here, Dunaway. How do we remember him as an NFL coach?
Very good.
Very good.
I mean, he took a team to a Super Bowl, right? Yep. But he also lost his job, did he not?
Well, he did. I mean, if you hang around long enough anywhere, you're going to lose your job. But
Yeah, but he wasn't fired.
No, he wasn't. He left to go to Michigan.
Yeah,
but
in the NFL, you, unlike college, you know, I think a lot more is played in college. I won with, you know, Les Miles won a national championship off of what Nick Saban built. You know, Larry Coker won a national championship off of what Butch Davis built. In the NFL, I think you get less of that because general managers build the roster.
Everything's built.
Yeah. And so Harbaugh taking the 49ers back to a Super Bowl, that resonates with me. And then it falls apart. And I think some of that is his fault and some of it's the front office fault.
Yeah, but I completely agree with your first two, Chip Kelly and Jim Harbaugh. I wanted to stay, and both those have Pac-12 ties, obviously. I think David Shaw.
I didn't even have him as one of my 12.
I mean, what do you...
I can't argue with that, though. I can't argue with that because David Shaw is a guy who wins a lot, and we always consider him... We even consider him as a guy who could jump to the NFL, so he's you know, one of the better coaches out there.
But it doesn't take long when you start saying, okay, give me your best head coaches in college football. Well, everybody's top three right now is probably going to be the same, Saban, Meyer, and Dabo Swinney. And then you get into that next group, it doesn't take you long for people to start saying David Shaw. Yet the guy, I mean, what's his conference championship?
I just don't know how realistic it is. Look, and Stanford seems to be in the mix.
It's more realistic than UCLA to me.
I would agree with that. But was the expectation ever with Stanford to win a national championship? Maybe it is now.
Probably not. He's won, I couldn't remember how many it was, three Pac-12 championships. 12, 13, and 15. So he's actually done really well. He's dominated that division for what that's worth. He's won it five times. Four times he's been the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. I mean, the guy's very well respected, obviously, on those accomplishments. But
I don't have a problem with putting him on the list.
I mean, I think Jim, if you're asking the question 20 years from now, when we look back on this generation of college football, who are we going to remember? I think for you to remember David Shaw, he's going to have to win a national championship.
And it will put him in a different stratosphere if he is able to win one of those championships.
Give me another must-win a national championship guy off your list.
It's Tom Herman with Texas. You know, he was the greatest free agent coach that we had ever seen coming in from Houston, and now he's got what is arguably one of the top three, four programs in all of college football. You've got the resources there. Look, Mack Brown was never, I guess, considered one of the greatest coaches out there, but because of the accumulation of talent, he still won a national championship, played for another. So if Tom Herman doesn't win a national championship, it's going to be an absolute failure.
Yes, it would be a failure, but has Tom Herman even had enough success yet, Brown, to where he makes this list where he has to have one to validate something?
I don't know that he's earned his spot on this list. I think we've talked him onto this list.
Right.
We collectively, I'm not pointing my fingers at anybody because it's national just as much as it is on this show. I think Tom Herman has been talked onto this list. I don't think Tom Herman has done one thing to earn himself onto this list. He had a good year at Houston.
But in the next 10 years, if Tom Herman doesn't have a national championship, we're not going to view Tom Herman the way Tom Herman has been viewed at least the last couple of years.
See, I put Tom Herman in the Kirby Smart category.
See, I think Kirby's one of these guys that needs it. And based on what he's already done, Dunaway, you're right. Maybe he doesn't deserve to be on this list because he's only been a head coach now going on 3 years. But based on what he has done in his first 2 years, from 8-5 to playing for a national championship to having fingers on the trophy last year, I think the expectation is they're not going to go anywhere, and he ultimately has to win a national championship.
I think what separates the guys we've thrown out so far is Chip Kelly, Jim Harbaugh, and David Shaw have had a great deal of success, and they have no national championships. So they need to show, to sort of highlight their success, they need that championship to validate it. Tom Herman and Kirby Smart are still building to that point.
Okay, well, I've got another one that would be on your list then, and I think that's Chris Peterson.
Yeah, I think that's 100% what we're talking about here with Peterson, a guy that won so much at Boise State, but he always gets that was at Boise State. Now he's at Washington. He's been to the playoffs once. If he beats Auburn in the opener, he's on his way to a second playoff trip, and all of a sudden he's starting to look like Chip Kelly looked when he was at Oregon.
Yeah, look, it's not the best program in the world, but Don James won one back in 1991. So it's a viable product. And when he took that job, we believed he could finally get to a situation where he could win a national championship. And in year four, he had him in the college football playoff.
Okay, when we come back, and a lot of you are starting to throw these in on Twitter, and we appreciate that, at Jocks Roundtable, if you want to throw some at us that you think are college football national college football coaches that need a national championship to validate them and their coaching legacy.
Can it be in another national championship? Is it somebody that has won one that could need another one? Can we include that? Or you just want to? Yeah, I'm fine either way. I'm asking for the rules.
Yeah, I think you can throw Jimbo Fisher in there.
I mean, you know where I'm going, right?
We're talking college football. 84 days from that major week one opening night with UAB and the SEC. And we were asking which coaches need a national championship to validate their career so far. And the list we have given you, Chip Kelly, Jim Harbaugh, David Shaw, Chris Peterson, and then to some degree, Tom Herman and Kirby Smart, though we think they're still building their resumes. You guys have given us some really good ones here that I think are going to be on Lance's list here. Brian writes in and says, Gary Patterson, TCU.
So I've got Gary Patterson as one of the 12. I don't have him as one of the six definites just because TCU doesn't seem like a realistic job to win national championships at.
Gary Patterson,
it's the only thing he hasn't done.
Gary Patterson, to me, Brown and LT, is David Shaw in a different league.
But, you know, in the spirit of this discussion, you're basically asking the question, 20 years from now, when we look back on college football, which of these guys need a national championship to be remembered? We barely remember Gary Patterson right now.
I agree.
Yeah, he is an anonymous guy.
Look,
I mean, when we, if we're doing this show in 20 years, if we talk about TCU, if they come up, the greatest TCU coach, I think we would all agree it's Gary Patterson.
Of all time?
Yeah.
I would assume. Gary Patterson and Dennis Franchione might be the only two I can name.
I mean, I know there was another coach that won a national championship there.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. I think Gary Patterson's the best TCU coach of all time, but where does that get you? I mean, it is TCU.
Blake is, I like he gives us his avatar name is Chili.
I like old Chili.
Yeah, Chili. He says Gus Malzahn. Has Gus won enough yet to need a national championship to validate him? Has he won enough to be in Chip Kelly, Jim Harbaugh, David Shaw, Chris Peterson?
I don't think he's Patterson, talked about Gary Patterson in those circles.
I mean, he's a more accomplished college coach than Harbaugh.
He's played for a national championship.
Yeah. I mean, what has Harbaugh done to equal what Gus Malzahn has done?
Basically, you know, Chip played for one and lost to Auburn, ironically.
Yeah.
in a team that Gus had a big hand in.
No, I think I would say Chip Kelly is a more accomplished coach than Gus Malzahn on the collegiate level. I would say that for sure. Right. But I would say Gus Malzahn's more accomplished collegiately than Jim Harbaugh. I don't know what you would say Harbaugh has done.
Well, I mean, he did a lot at Stanford, right?
I mean, yeah, he rebuilt Stanford. What do you think his record was at Stanford?
I think it was very close. Who,
Harbaugh?
To 500.
Yeah, Harbaugh.
Look, he had a rough couple of years, but I still think it was probably six, 7 games over 500.
50 games he coached there. 50 games.
I would say he's 26 and 24.
I would go 28 and 22.
29 and 21.
Yep.
At Stanford.
But didn't he start off with a 1-11?
No, no, no. He was 4-8 his first year. He took over. I think, was it Walt Harris or Ty Willingham? Whoever he took over from, I think, had won one game in the last 21 or some insane stat like that. And he turned him around. But don't forget, Gus Malzahn did the same thing at Auburn. He took over a program that was awful.
Clay has a good one. Mark Richt.
I've got Mark Richt on my list. I don't have him as one of the six definites, but I've got him as one of my 12s.
I don't know. I think Mark Richt might have done enough that you'll remember him without a national championship.
But here's the thing, Brown. He's going to end up coaching at two great programs,
yeah,
Georgia and Miami. And if he walks away with not a national championship at either.
Now, you might remember him as an underachiever because of that, but I think you will at least remember him.
Well, but flip this around for me. Who is the greatest coaches never to win a national championship?
Well, Richt's in that discussion.
Like throughout history, though, yeah. I'm talking about. I mean, throughout history.
Well, Frank Beamer is probably going to, unless I'm forgetting somebody really obvious, you probably retire the trophy.
Bill Snyder will be there.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you forgive those guys, right? You're like, well, they're at Virginia Tech and Kansas State.
But is Mark Richt going to be that guy?
No, because he's going to be at Georgia, who will probably win a national championship between now and the next 20 years.
And Miami's won a slew of them.
And Miami's won a ton of them. So he's going to coach at two national championship programs and not have won one, if that is the case.
Okay, but take away that. What you're talking about at Virginia Tech and what it was when Beamer went there in Kansas State. Give me a guy who coached at a name program that we consider good that didn't win a national championship that is worth remembering today that coached back in yesteryear. You know, those guys all won,
right? A name program.
Like Fulmer even won one at Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Spurrier won at Florida.
He did. Brown won one at Texas.
Mack Brown even won one at Texas. Pete got one at USC.
There's
got
to be an obvious answer to this, Jim.
He got two.
Well, he got at least one is my point.
There's got to be an obvious answer to this.
Oh, I know who it is. It's
Bobby
Bo Schembechler.
Oh.
Bo Schembechler.
Bobby Petrino is not a bad
OBP.
One. Yeah, well, but it is Schembechler. Yeah, that's the one.
Bo never got one?
He did not. And Michigan fans say he didn't get one because he always put the emphasis on winning the Big Ten.
Our friend
and going to the Rose Bowl.
It simultaneously sent me that text.
Yeah.
But yeah, Schembechler's the obvious one.
That's always been that's always been the excuse for Schembechler is, their focus was winning the Big Ten and going to the Rose Bowl. They didn't care about national championships.
Mark Richt won three SEC. Is Mark Richt the modern-day Bo?
No, he's not. He's not regarded that high.
I wonder how close their records are. How close do you think their records are?
Clay also throws out Mike Gundy.
I've got Gundy as one of the 12, actually. But I just, again, Oklahoma State's just not really realistic to expect a national championship. I do have to pull back here on Gary Patterson. Dutch Meyer is probably your greatest TCU coach of all time.
And for some reason, I forgot Pat Sullivan coached there.
He was not a good coach.
No, he wasn't.
TCU. But Dutch Meyer was 109 and 79, won a national championship, undisputed, it said, in 1938, and won three Southwest Conference championships.
You know, both Schembechler and now Schembechler won a bunch of conference championships. That's what I was going to say. I'm apart.
Absolutely. Was in the Rose Bowl a lot.
Yeah. So the winning percentage is probably pretty close.
I was going to say, well, actually, record wise, is not that far off. Michigan versus Georgia. Now, both Schembechler coached at Miami of Ohio before. He's got 234 wins. So Richt is never going to reach that. Richt's at 164 right now. But if you just compare Michigan and Georgia win wise, it's not as far off as you might think. 194 and 48 for Schembechler. 145 and 51 for Richt. Now, I know it's a 40-win gap, but you might have thought it was more than that.
Getting a lot of Pat Dyes here.
Yeah, I mean, Pat never won the national championship and not owned it, but dominated the 80s.
Let me ask you guys this.
Four conference championships in the 80s.
Outside of the SEC, though, do you think nationally Pat Dye was recognized as one of the great coaches to not win a national championship? I don't know if he was.
When you were talking the 80s, though, when in that moment in time,
okay, was Pat,
those Auburn teams were
really good. I mean, 83, you can make the argument that team deserved to win a national championship, but I would ask you, was Pat Dye viewed the same kind of coach as Mark Richt?
I think
same level.
I think those two are, that's a good comparison, I think, because you knew they were going to be always good, and it seemed to be a game along the way that you thought, what happened there?
Yeah, but I mean,
I thought we were better than them.
I think sometimes it's the situation you take over, and what Pat Dye took over was a program that had had moments but had been really bad of late. Yeah. And he took it over and built it into a conference power. If not, I mean, you can't call it a national power because they didn't win a national championship. They were a contender.
Yeah, they were number one.
And they were a contender.
Yeah.
But they weren't, you know, Miami was the national power of that time frame. But in Oklahoma to a certain extent. But I think Pat Dye gets remembered because of what he took over and what he built it into.
Technically, 1983 is, I believe, claimed now by Auburn in most circles.
And I'm cool with that.
And that seems to be, that's the one where Miami jumped over Auburn after Auburn won their Sugar Bowl game.
So
over
we're
Michigan.
Saying Pat Dye does have a national championship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say he probably does. I don't know if Pat recognizes it, but I think a lot of Auburn people do now. Well, we've got a big event I told you about earlier in the show. I'm going to see Yacht Rock tomorrow night. And it's over with our friends at Avondale.
Yeah, they're going to be doing that. Avondale Brewing. And Rockstar was telling us kind of the different artists that will be sampled in Yacht Rock. You said you're not a big Michael McDonald guy.
I'm not a Doobie Brothers fan at all. And that got you to thinking of songs that were actually a hit.
Well, what got me on the way back from the beach just going around SiriusXM and how many bad songs you can actually hear.
There's a lot of bad songs, but
I'm talking about awful, awful songs that were hits.
That were considered hits. Give me yours.
My old one, just a couple that I heard, Tarzan Boy. I forgot who sang that. You guys
Tarzan
remember that song?
Boy, I've never heard of that.
Do not remember that one.
Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore. Awful, awful song.
What channel were you on? Tarzan Boy.
This
Jungle
was,
channel?
I think it was the 90s.
The 90s. And this was a hit?
He's got a fanny pack on his cover.
Yeah, this was like a top 20 hit.
I do not remember this song.
Me either.
You're in for luck because it is 6:19.
And wow. Play it for the bathroom break, huh?
Woo. Oh, okay.
That's a bad song.
Yeah, awful
okay.
song.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
It's coming back now, all of a sudden.
A song like Barbie Girl. Do you guys remember that? Aqua.
Yeah. Aqua, yeah.
But maybe the worst that I heard, girl. And I think I've brought this up before, but Styx is Mr. Roboto.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, I think it was like a top five hit.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Could not stand that song.
Yeah, it was like their rock opera, and it was just absolutely awful. But that, to me, is the worst song of all time.
This is bad, yeah.
But there are certain songs that you instantly, back in the day when you would listen to music on the radio, you would turn the channel instantly.
That's one of them right there.
And that is one of them.
Yeah, Mr. Roboto, to me, is the worst song of all time.
And Rockstar mentioned mine, and I can't get past this one. I built this city on rock and roll. Who sang that?
Starship.
Oh, always hated that song. So much so. Oh.
The music video was amazing.
I hate this song so much that I dislike Journey's The City by the Bay, their song.
Light.
Well, there's just so many like hokey interjections during this song.
How does this song make you hate lights?
Because
city's in it.
The word city. You're that's what, like Jock the city. Only thing they have in common. Jock City.
Yeah, absolutely. That was it. I would get this song confused with that one on the title and would never punch that one to listen to.
Gotcha.
What about you? Give me one you hate.
Mine, and this was this might have reached number one in the Billboard 100. It was a country song, quote unquote, Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart.
No.
Might have been the worst song of all time, and how it got so popular.
Jay, it was amazing. I went to June Jam. Old Fort Payne used to go a lot,
yeah.
And he played, and he did it twice.
He did Achy Breaky Heart twice?
Did it twice.
This one's tuned down half a step.
So awful wait, song.
He had to do a concert and had so few songs.
I guess that was it.
Play the hits.
You know, it was just everybody wanted to hear it.
Oh, this is an old
one. When was this popular?
Late 80s? Mid 80s?
Yeah,
it was like 92,
93. Oh, 90s?
I would say 90s.
I'll look it up.
All right, Rockstar, did you
91
have one?
Was when it reached number one.
Mine was Starship. We Built This City. Awful.
So that's yours, too?
Lance's Barbie Girls. I would listen to Starship over and over if I had to listen to Barbie Girl.
Oh, this is the
I mean, did Aqua do anything besides Barbie Girl?
No. I mean, that was such a bad song. It seemed like it was a joke, and then we'll give you a record deal.
Right now, it's time to do four downs on the show. I was by Vulcan Tire yesterday. Vulcan Tire and Automotive in Trustville and over in Moody.
If you're looking for a new set of tires or a place to have your vehicle serviced, look no further than Vulcan Tire and Automotive, locally owned, independently run. You mentioned the two great locations. Stop in today to Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
First down.
What is something that the majority of people that you know have done that you have not?
I mean, for me, probably a game of cornhole. I have never played a game of cornhole.
Not one time?
That is really random.
I know it's random, but I mean, I think most people listening to us today probably have played a game of cornhole.
You know, a lot of people had gone to Wrigley Field.
Right.
I mean, that are sports fans, and I had not until just recently. I don't know how many. You've never been to Europe, have you?
I've never been to Europe.
Have you been to Europe?
I have not.
I haven't either. So that's out.
Remote? You want to do the World Cup?
I don't think the majority of people have been to Europe.
Yeah,
I don't know that the majority of people have done
Wrigley Field.
Have done cornhole or Wrigley Field, and mine neither. But the first thing that came to mind was take a cruise. I don't think the majority of people I know have taken a cruise, but a lot have, and I've never done it. I don't foresee myself doing it.
Yeah. I've done the cruise.
Rockstar, did you have one?
There's a lot. I've never been out of the. Well, we went took a ferry to Canada for 2 hours. I've never been out of the country besides that. So
I mean, I've been to Canada.
I think everybody's been outside of the country.
Yeah, I know somebody that's never flown on a plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I have lunch with him the other day?
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Some people would say, smoked pot in college or something like that.
In college? Yeah.
Yeah.
Only in college. Once you bust through college, it's on then.
Yeah.
Second down.
What childhood assumption about adult life were you way wrong about?
Speaking of college, I thought being done with school would be awesome.
The same thing I thought, like, once you're an adult. Going to work cannot be that bad.
Yeah. You never realized how good you had it.
Don't
right?
have to deal with teachers anymore and getting up early and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I thought that being done with school would be incredible, and I'd do anything to go back to school.
When you were a kid, it seemed like adults always had money, that there was no money problem at all.
It never mattered to you, right?
Right.
That we just spent.
Like my grandmother always had whatever amount, if I needed 75 cents for something, she had a dollar in her purse. If I needed, $5, she had $5 in her purse. She never had six.
Yep.
See, but it was like a magic purse.
Whatever you needed.
That's pretty awesome because your grandparents didn't have a lot, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
But that shows you what a good job they did raising you, that you never feared for anything.
Yeah.
You felt insulated into anything in this world that you needed, you could actually have.
See, mine was that you had free time as parents because when I was a kid, no, I don't mean that kind of free time, Rockstar. I meant like time where I'm not dealing with my kids, because when you're a kid, you're so self-absorbed, you don't realize the sacrifice your parents are making to coach your team or go to your games or go to your school plays or whatever.
Your kids do realize you're on the course 6 hours a day.
And then when you're a parent.
Yeah. But you do.
I'll check that one off.
To your point, though, is you think when you're outside playing that your parents are just sitting inside waiting for you to come back in so they can do something else.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't realize what your parents are doing. What they're sacrificing to be at all your events and play
Third
golf.
Third down.
What is something that someone has said to you that you will remember forever, either negative or positive?
Now, this has been kind of a recurring theme, and I've had it said in different ways, but we bring it up on the show as it's undefeated.
Yeah. Yep.
But I've heard guys say it's started wars.
Yeah, that's true.
It's ended families.
It has.
It is undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about pot roast, right?
It is more powerful than...
They cook the pot roast.
It is more powerful than Nick Saban.
Lance, that was an amazing line.
For me, I've tried to live this. The great Aaron Burr said this: talk less, smile more. Yes. And I've tried to do that more recently.
I thought it was Hamilton that said it the other day.
It was Burr that said it.
Oh, in Hamilton?
To Hamilton.
Yeah. Talk less, smile more.
Burr get shot.
Yep.
But it's Hamilton got shot by Burr.
They were in a duel. Mine was I went to a family event at Christmas, and an aunt told me, you've got more hair than it looks like on TV.
Yeah.
That was before I grew my hair back. Obviously, thanks to our good friends there at MD Wellness and Aesthetics. But I guess
you're not nearly as ugly as you
described. I guess she meant it as a compliment. Well, you've got more hair than it looks like on TV. Oh, thank you.
Fourth down.
All right, you are granted a Groundhog Day. You can relive any day of your life for 1 month. It's a clean slate once that month is over. What day do you choose?
I think Bill Murray had a good one that he wanted to go back to. Yeah, I'm not going to be that shallow.
That was a good day.
So I went to a place called Discovery Cove in Orlando.
Yeah.
And Brown, I tried to get you to go there.
You did. We were full.
It's a SeaWorld property, and it's all-inclusive, and you can just hang out and, like, snorkel all day, and it's got beaches and stuff. And I did it with the kids a couple of years ago, and if I could go back and do that day forever, it would be incredible.
For me, it was May 28th in 1980-something.
Very specific, yes.
Day after high school graduation down at Panama. First of all, let me say disclaimer. Any day with my wife. But
Other
than those days.
Right.
That day, senior friends down in Panama City, it was a pretty good day.
Yeah.
Pretty good day.
I mean, the day I played Augusta National was tremendous.
Really?
That would have been an ultimate humble brag, right? I would say any day from that summer before my senior year in high school. I just remember that summer fondly. And there's not like one event that jumps out. I just remember you're about to be a senior in high school. I mean, that was just an amazing summer.
I remember the bookends of the summer before and the summer after going into college.
Those are great summers.
Yep.
Or how miserable it was when you have 1 week left just knowing you're August 20th.
Yeah.
Crazy thing is those days would last forever.
They would,
forever.
Man. Yes. Good summer day in Alabama. Nice and hot. Lasts forever.
That hour, magical hour before sunset.
Rockstar, I've got to know what your Groundhog Day is.
You know, sadly, I really did think about this, but in eighth grade, we did the Pirates Day thing at the middle school. We had our band played like five songs for the entire class. And then it was like basically your May Day play was like the last day of school in eighth grade. And I'm trying to think of, I had a girlfriend at the time.
Uh-oh.
That's sad that I was, what, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah.
I had a...
And she didn't annoy you at all?
She did. I had tapered jeans and a braided belt.
Tapered jeans and a braided belt?
I had Nike Huaraches. I was a cool cat.
That is Four Downs, brought to you by Vulcan Tire.
Two great locations, one right off of I-459 in Trustville. The new Moody location right off of I-20, a half mile past the Publix. Quality of service, second to none, that is both quick and efficient. Best tire pricing in Birmingham. It's Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.